If we have any visitors here this morning at Lake Country Bible Church, we just want to enthusiastically welcome you into our midst, make you known that we love having you here, and we'd sure love some more information about you. So if you would look in the envelope in a pouch in the chair in front of you, there should be a form and a pen. If you'd fill that out and put that in the offering box, the basket on the way out the door, on the right of the door, and let us know a little about yourselves. Maybe we can communicate with each other and get to know each other a little bit, and we can make sure you know how welcome you are here. So thank you.
As usual, on Sunday morning, prayer meeting, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock through the door to the right. In that same room, the women's Bible study, unfortunately, won't meet until the 9th of January. So don't go through that door on Tuesday night. In fact, you won't get through the front door either. Terry will pick up on that on the 9th of January. What book are y'all going to be in? You finished 2 Samuel, okay? They've done 1 Samuel. Wednesday night in this room, of course, at 6 o'clock for prayer and message. I think Ray brings that message on Wednesday nights. But we are not meeting this Wednesday night because it is Thanksgiving week. So there will be no Wednesday service this week. The Channing family, as you can see, is... some new news, Channing Ellerton, and we'll be here on the 3rd of December. They will have the whole service, and as you can read, Channing has a message: I want to reach people for the cause of Christ. I use the powerful ministry resource, which is music. I have a testimony, and God has given me the gift of music. And the ultimate gift, his son, Jesus Christ, how can I not go and share it with the world? So if you have friends and would like them to hear such a minister, bring them along with you. Water baptism is scheduled for the 9th of December in Canton. See Pastor Mike if you care to be water baptized. I, for one, will be on that list. I've never been water baptized. I've only been sprinkled as a child, so I felt like it would be time to do that. Join me there if you can on the 9th of December. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, your children whom you have justified have now gathered here together this morning with worshipful hearts, eyes and ears now ready to again see your truth in your holy scriptures, and hearing as your spirit dispenses from it to each according to your purposes. Lord, we well should remember your salvation, which we so freely received by faith through your holy word given to the apostles, for they did see and faithfully report the gospel of the Christ as your power unto our salvation from the Edenic sentence of death. Lord, and by your provision alone is the blood of Messiah adequate to forgive our sin and thus present us worthy for your choosing, each of your children, for the gifting we also receive to testify of your indwelling power to save, indwell, and equip your sheep against the evil one. Lord, ever we should lay our burdens at the foot of your throne, all encumbrances as well, that would be against the power of the joys of our salvation. We seek you in worship this morning, singing your praises, sifting of your word of truth as we lift our pleas, spoken and unspoken, in prayer. We ask your blessings to be manifested in the lives of all who undergo spiritual trial, physical afflictions, family conflicts, and newness of faith in difficult doctrines. Lord, lead us this morning. Bless the preparation of your message in Daniel by Pastor Mike. May all that we are before you in worship this morning be a blessing and a sweet savor in spirit and all truth to your holy name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. I think we're in the book of Daniel this morning again. Chapter 10. Daniel 6? Yeah, 6. How'd I get 10? I've got 6 marked. We will read Daniel 6, verses 1 through 9. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed. According to the law of the Medes, the Persians, and the Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree.
Good morning, church. Hey, what, it's good to look out and see all your smiling faces. I think probably you're thinking about Thanksgiving coming up. Probably the reason. But we do appreciate the special Brad and Linda, you being so faithful to come in and fill vacancy when Miss Brenda is traveling the world down in Panama. And so we prayed for her this week and trust that she's had a good time. I don't know if you've heard from her or not, but ma'am? Well, continue to pray for her. We understand that this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and normally a Thanksgiving sermon is preached on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But I put this sermon off for a week when the Lord laid on my heart what I spoke on last week. And so I thought that maybe because of those preparing the bulletin, it might be nice to go ahead and continue on in our study and not have to redo the bulletin again, saying the same thing. So that's what we're doing this morning. The music this morning, Brad, was good. We appreciate your picking that song. I enjoy that song. And you did a great job. I appreciate you. Let's look to the Lord in word prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. Father, how we desperately need you in our lives in every aspect. Father, we many times as your children, still in this old fleshly body and with that sinful nature, Father, sometimes we go astray. And so, Father, we ask that you would minister to our needs this morning. We pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would make application where application is necessary. We pray, Father, it would be your Holy Spirit would be uplifting where we need uplifting, encouraging where we need encouragement. Father, be with us today as we look into your word and as we continue in our study, the book of Daniel. So, Father, we thank you for grace. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. With the baptismal service coming up, let me say this, that we will be leaving our church here around 4 o'clock on the 9th, and we'll be traveling sort of as semi-group over to Canton to Grace Fellowship Baptist Church, and a friend of mine pastors that church, founded that church, pastors that church, and he's been so kind to encourage us. We've had other baptismal services there, and you will enjoy your time. There's no need for bringing extra baptismal clothing. They will furnish robes and towels, and so there's no need for you to try to pack all that together and bring. So be mindful of that. But on the 3rd, that's on the 9th. On the 3rd, you do not want to miss, and I would encourage you to invite as many people as you can invite. Encourage them to come. Bring them, if necessary, to hear the Ellington family. Channing Ellington, great musician. His girls, we've known them since they were very small, and they have such God-given talent. And their dad is musically talented, was born that way, and has been blessed with ministry in that area. And before you sit down and go to sleep this morning, Wesley, would you turn on some air, please, sir? And some up here, if you would. But anyway, you will miss a blessing if you're not here on the 3rd of December. So those are all the public announcements. I'm reminded of the story of a denomination who was having water baptism down at the local creek. And a little bit different in us is our understanding of Scripture is not as fully understood as ours is. But there's a gentleman by the name of Fred. Fred came walking up on this baptismal service. They baptized almost every Sunday down at the creek. And Fred didn't know what was going on. He had heard about it, and that wasn't a church-going man. And so he walked up on the baptismal service and stood there for just a moment. And the preacher was doing the baptism was so anxious to get as many baptized as he could, get them wet that day for his own benefit. He called out to Fred. He said, "Fred, come on down here and let me baptize you." So Fred waded out in the water in his clothes just as they were. And the pastor baptized him, put him under water, and quizzed of him when he came up out of the water. Said, "Fred, did you see Jesus?" Fred said, "No." And so he said, "I've got to do it again." So he baptized Fred again, raised him up. Said, "Fred, did you see Jesus?" He said, "No." And he said, "Well, I've got to do this again because, you know, it's important." So he dunked him again and brought him up out of the water. And he said, "Fred, did you see Jesus?" Fred said, "Preacher, are you sure he fell in here?" So I can hardly wait to baptize Wes Buckler. So just get ready. This morning we will be concluding the first six chapters in Daniel. The first six chapters of Daniel are all historical, all dealing with the past, what happened in the past. The last six chapters in Daniel will be considering what will take place in the future. Some of the things that we'll see in the last six chapters of Daniel will be things that are still to come. Some of the things that we will be, one or two of the things that we will see in the last six chapters of Daniel will be things that was prophesied but have already taken place. So that might be something that you want to keep in mind Would somebody go open the door and let the latecomer in here? I'm joking. There we go. So anyway, that's something to look forward to. The kingdom of the beast and arms of silver, as we look into Daniel chapter 6, is now in place. That silver image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the early chapter of Daniel has changed. The gold realm of Nebuchadnezzar has passed away. And now we find that the arm and breast of silver is now the ruler of the world. This regime of the Medes and Persians is really a twofold nature, represented by the two arms and joined together by the breast of silver into one government. They both have joined together and they rule the world as one. The silver is evidently and noticeably stronger than the gold, but the value of the silver is not nearly as valuable as gold, which indicates to the reader of Daniel chapter 6, indicates the inability of the then known world to be ruled by one single man, such as Nebuchadnezzar was. The silver is stronger, but the decline in the worth of the leadership is very noticeable. There's been no one as strong as Nebuchadnezzar, and what his will was, it was done. We find he could make a man, and then he could break the man, except this man, Daniel. Daniel was a special instrument of God in the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold that we find described in the Word of God. The strength of the government that was now in place was increasing, but the absolute rule of those in leadership was limited. The king, plural, of Medo-Persia, two empires, could make any law he chose, but he could never change it. That was written into the foundation of the rule of the Medo-Persians. We find in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes." The number of the princes, or the ones he put in charge over his regime, is indicative of what a large area of the world the Medo-Persians comprised. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Verse 2, "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage." They sort of filtered out those things that the king really, they felt like needed to know, and the things that they felt like they could get by without reporting to the king. Verse 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Verse 4, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, and they could find at none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said they, these men, we shall not find occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said thus unto the king Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and princes and counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O King, establish the decree, sign the writing, and it shall not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing of the decree. We find here these men, 120 presidents, along with the 120 princes, and then the presidents, the three presidents, with the exception of Daniel, planned to bring about this law, which would alter Daniel's ability to worship God himself. They had a plan, but we find here in the Word of God, in the book of Daniel, as we'll be seeing this morning, that plan did not pan out. It went astray. 120 princes and two presidents. Daniel was the man next in charge after Darius. God-given wisdom was still in Daniel. This one who was so faithful, who was by this time an old man, an old, old man, but yet his faith and his obedience to the God of heaven never, ever faltered nor changed. Daniel was the man that God had set there in the realm of Darius, the leader of the king of the Medes and Persians. God set him there for his purpose. God-given wisdom was still with Daniel and was recognized by all of these new sovereigns that Darius had put into place. The recognition of Daniel by the king stirred up the jealousy of his fellow magistrates. Does that sound familiar in politics today? Planning by the opposing party, their opposition party, how to do in the other party that is in charge, or they are afraid might become in charge. These ones, as we read it here in Daniel chapter 6, they were determined that Daniel should be destroyed and his office given to another, one that they could manipulate, because they knew they could not manipulate Daniel. We find, as we look around and as our experience in this life on this old world, we find that this is many times the case, even in the workaday world, even in the church world. We find these kinds of things and antics going on. What a shame that is. God has a man in every instance that God has allowed or placed specifically in that place to accomplish his purpose in the people's lives that are surrounding this individual. Any individual. Could be the president. Could be a congressman. Could be a local mayor. Could be a pastor. Could be a Sunday school teacher. But the vanity of mankind today is such that we can readily see and identify with those that wanted to do Daniel harm. These men appealed to Darius and in his vanity by saying, O King, live forever. Oh, we just love you so much. We want you to be here just forever. Think of it. His own princes, presidents, were so thankful to have him rule over them that in order to show their appreciation, they wanted him to establish a law which decreed that no one, no man, could make a request of another man, nor of a god, for 30 days, except of Darius himself. And if anyone was to disobey this, they would be cast into the den of lions. We find that Daniel was very familiar with the methods that reigning monarchs used during his day, during his lifetime. And just as the fiery furnace was to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel knew and understood what the den of lions meant. It meant certain death. Without seeking advice or taking time for consolation or consideration, Darius immediately signed the decree Yes, I want to, as he took out one of the many pens in which he signed his decree. I don't know that he used many pens, but our president does now. More normally, our president, whether Republican or Democrat, uses many, signed his name, smiling, not knowing what these ones had tricked him into doing. Without seeking advice or taking time to think about it, Darius immediately signed that decree. And those 120 princes and two presidents and all of the lesser ones in leadership position knew that they had Daniel. Because they knew, because of Daniel's reputation, because of what they saw in Daniel's life, they knew that he would not obey the decree by Darius. They knew Daniel loved the Lord, the God of heaven, the creator, the maintainer, the enabler. They knew for sure that they had Daniel trapped. They knew that Daniel cared not for any rule of man which would try to separate him from his God. However, the den of lions held no threat. No matter how others looked at the den of lions, Daniel was not threatened. Daniel knew his God could care for him and would care for him. He had done it time after time after time. God had protected Daniel. Daniel was so completely 100% sold out to the living God of heaven. And he knew that God would care for him. We find that they knew that these ones who planned against Daniel knew what he would do, what his position would be. Could people look at us and say that of us today? Could people look at me or look at you and say he or she is sold out so much that no matter what comes down the pike in the way of the conditions of this world or this state or this municipality, we're going to do what God would have us to do? That was Daniel's position. Daniel was going to worship God, the creator of all that existed, without reservation, without hesitation. And he would continue to ask petitions of his God. They knew that Daniel was as good as destroyed already because they had him with their game plan. We find in Daniel chapter 6, looking at verse 10 and verse 11. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened and his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks unto his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled. They were hiding. They were looking. They were hidden behind every bush looking at that window that faced Jerusalem. They knew that Daniel would appear as he always did three times a day. And prayed and asking petition of his God. They knew these things. And these men were assembled, verse 11, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They knew, Daniel knew, that his actions was pure and simple defiance against what the king, Darius, had proclaimed. Daniel could not plead ignorance to the law. No one allowed in this day and time in which this took place such a plea. He knew that the edict was signed. Daniel knew that it was law for 30 days. Daniel knew that it was in effect. And he also knew the penalty for noncompliance. Daniel, that man was going to remain faithful. No matter what was in store for him, he found his faith in God to never fail. And in this instance, it would not fail again. He knew that it was in effect, this law. He also knew the penalty, and he prayed to God anyway. How about you and how about me when things get tough? Do we go and find what we think is the cure-all for our situation? Maybe it's our savings account, our retirement account. What are we going to do? You look at the web, you look at your phone, and you find all of these ads, if you would, beckoning you to become fearful of what you have laid aside for your old age. And they say that's going to be taken away from you, greatly reduced in value. Daniel could have waited for 30 days to pray to God of heaven. All believers in the Lord are called upon and told to obey those who have rule over them. That was Daniel. Why didn't Daniel do that? Why should one obey his government? Why should he obey his government? Why shouldn't he obey his government? We are told in the Word of God to obey those that are in charge over us. Obey. But Daniel knew what God had in store for him. He was going to remain faithful. We, as God's children, should obey our government at all times until our government defies the law of God. Then we have the responsibility to stand for what we believe. Freedom of conscience. We should obey God rather than the government man. May God preserve our America as we know it, which is so fading and going down the drain, so to speak. For our country was built upon the principles of the Word of God. May I say this morning, God bless America. Bless the Christian people in America who obey the government of America until America goes against, the leadership of America goes against what God would have us to do. That's my prayer. We find the prophecy teaches us that there is to be dozens of world governments in the final days. We find that there shall be many, like Daniel, who shall defy the word of these leaders, these false leaders. If you would, the Antichrist. And they too shall know what it means to be cast into the destructive purposes of those that are in power at that time. Daniel respected the king. He had no respect for his God, this God-defying law that Darius put in. So he went to his window as every other day. Three times he prayed as he had never prayed before. Have you ever prayed in situations that were so great that you really didn't know how to pray? I have. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to admit to God Himself that you just didn't have the words? You didn't know how to put it in the terms where you could speak it. But you relied upon God and His mercy, His grace, and His long suffering. Have you ever been there? I have. God is gracious. God is good. God is in control. God has, for you and I, His best in store for us. May not be in the eyes of this world that we see, that we experience what others would call success. But friend, let me assure you, if you know Christ is your Savior, God is in control. We find in Daniel chapter 6, verse 12, and following. Then they came near, these ones that were hiding, and they saw Daniel. And they spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petitions three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel. The enemies of Daniel, of this one who was so faithful in his service and commitment to the God of heaven, were watched, or he was watched by these ones who were looking for him to disobey. They found him on his knees praying. They ran like tattletales to Darius and accused Daniel. God was truly, truly real in Daniel's soul and in his habits of serving him. And his habits did not change. The king was notified of Daniel's insubordination and urged to comply with his decree. The king realized it had been a trap. But the law of the Medes and Persians could not be altered. And he had signed this law into effect. He had made the law, Darius had. He had signed the law. That was easy. But now he had, Darius had, to comply with the conditions of disobedience. Darius found himself a victim of his own carelessness. Let me ask you a question. Are we not much like Darius? Are we victims sometimes of our own carelessness? The things in this world that we have given ourselves to, are they sometimes unpleasant? What should our response be in times like this? We find in Daniel chapter 6, verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king had noticed and saw Daniel. He had been told of how faithful Daniel was unto his God, the God of heaven. The king was convinced that God, Daniel's God, would deliver him. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake to Daniel, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. They may not hurt me, or they have not hurt me, insomuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him. He commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Was Daniel defeated? Not so, not at all. The glee of the princes turned into gloom because they knew what their future held. Humanly speaking, there was nothing to expect but death. Daniel had seen the hand of the Lord once again in his life, as he had before. He had learned of the deliverance of his three companions for the fiery furnace. God could deliver him again. He could, and he would. Oh, friend, you too may have been cast, literally or figuratively, into a den of lions. Today, yesterday, or weeks before. But let me encourage you that God is in control. He loves you with a love that is incomparable, I believe, this side of heaven. You may even be in that lion's den, so to speak, now. But remember, Daniel's God, your God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, is able to deliver. Deliver you, deliver me. Darius was so upset that he couldn't eat his dinner that night, nor would he allow music or entertainment to be played that evening. Even sleep fled from him. His mind was upon one man, this Daniel, who was in a den of lions because of his own stupidness and foolishness in making a foolish decree by which foolish men had foolishly fooled him. Early in the morning, while I'm sure the light of day was still creeping up, he ran to the mouth of the den of lions, called, "Daniel, Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee?" I can just imagine the look on his face as a muffled voice came from behind the sealed den, "O king, live forever." Then came praise to the one who delivered him from the den of lions. Today, we find an angel who had been sent unto Daniel. The lion's mouth had been closed. I'm convinced many times in the life of a believer that is sold out in his service to the Lord and his commitment to the Lord, God's angel has looked after you. He's looked after me. How our imaginations are carried away with this in experience of Daniel. What are the emotions that Daniel experienced, that King Darius experienced, that those who had tried to trap Daniel, what emotions did they experience? We do not know what went on throughout the night as Daniel and the lions kept company with one another. We only know that Daniel was conscious of the presence of the Lord. How great are these testings that he went through? But friend, how great are the testings that you and I go through in this life? In and through the testings, all, we become conscious of the nearness and preciousness of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see him come in and answer our prayer, meet our needs, heal our diseases, encourage us in our discouragement. How great is our God if we know him as our personal Savior. We find in Daniel chapter 6, verse 24, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all of their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den." Then King Darius wrote and to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I made a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall not even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel, that same Daniel that was faithful in his walk with the Lord many years before. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persians. Both the Bible and history illustrate Daniel's faithfulness. It illustrates also the destruction of those who plan by unlawful means to harm the innocent. As a man meets out others, so it will be meted out to him. The very man who had planned Daniel's demise and their plan to cause his death was meted out to them. Them, their families, their wives. Darius, like Nebuchadnezzar, acknowledged the superiority of Daniel's God, the God of heaven. We find all his subjects, Darius' subjects, were commanded to respect this Daniel, and the kingdom of God was truly recognized as that which is eternal. This ends the historical part of the book of Daniel, the first six chapters, but we'll be looking at some of the results of these things that took place in the following six chapters. We'll be looking at that beginning next week. What I want to share with you this morning is, if I were to ask you, and you were truthful with me this morning, if you knew where you were going when you died, could you say, yes, I know. I've trusted Jesus Christ and what he's done for me to get me to heaven. If you've never done that, no better time than this morning to do that. And God is not unreachable. God loves you more than you can believe. God gave his Son that we might have everlasting life. Letting this represent sin, and this represent us, my hand, represent us. This represents sin. God says, God's Word says we're all sinners. God says, I love you, but I hate that sin. And you can't get into my perfect heaven with that sin, because God loves you that much, letting this hand represent Jesus Christ. God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was sinless. He was perfect. He was righteous. He was obedient to his heavenly Father. He came and took our sin and paid for it, removes it as far as the east is from the west, the Word of God says, and he gives us his righteousness to go to heaven on. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior have taken God at his word. And we have believed what God says in his word, that when we trust Christ and his death on the cross, he gives us eternal life. That familiar verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the kind of God. That's the kind of God Daniel served, Daniel loved, he was committed to, and today you can have that experience of knowing and being assured by the Word of God itself in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you. These things, every one of them, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. The name of the Son of God is Jesus, Jehovah Yahshua in the original. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may, K-N-O-W, know that you have everlasting life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning, it does not play a part and God giving you eternal life whatsoever. But it gives me an opportunity to pray for you. After you trust Christ, Satan, like these ones that went up against Daniel, will try to come in and cause you to have unrest, to have doubts, to have no peace. And I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the weeks to come. So if you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to raise your hand in just a moment, not now. But I'm going to ask you, if you're here this morning and you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so that I know who you are, so I can pray for you. I won't get with you afterwards. I won't call you by name. I won't call you forward. It's something that you do between you and God, not between you, me, and God. It's between you and God. But I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. So if you're here this morning in the best way you know how, you've never done that before, but this morning, the best way you know how, you trust in Christ, what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it, and then you can put it down again? Anybody? Slip it up till I see it. Anybody? I see your hand. Anybody else? Fine. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for your word because it's true. It's true from cover to cover. Father, we thank you for that because in it we find not only the way to spend eternity with you in heaven, but also, Father, how to live our life here on this earth. Father, for these ones here this morning who know you, we pray that you'd bless them extra special good. Give them clear, plain leadership, Father, in their lives. And Father, this one who raised their hand this morning, we pray, Father, that you would minister to them the assurance and the peace and knowing that heaven's their home. Father, we thank you so much once again for grace. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.